We'll begin with a building and move to another building. Then we'll look ahead 20 years to the building of yet another building, and we'll arrive in our day in a celebration of that building and its future. All of these buildings revealing so much about the place they were built and the past and future of this place and its people. Building number one. We're told in 1879, the Pennsylvania legislature demonstrated an interest in providing free care for injured mine workers by creating a miners' hospital near Ashland. But the hospital at Fountain Springs was too far away from Hazleton to be effective. Agitation for a hospital located in Hazleton began in 1882, but did not become organized until 1885. The community supported the efforts of their local authorities in the usual manner, by writing letters to the editor and by holding mass citizens' meetings. And the efforts of the community were successful. In 1887, the Pennsylvania legislature authorized the creation of a state hospital in Hazleton. The establishment of a state hospital in the town was not the only success enjoyed by the community. In matters of purely local concern, community endeavors were highly successful. In 1887, for example, the Hazleton Lodge of the Patriotic Order of Sons of America planned to participate in a 4th of July celebration and competition in Pottsville. Since the lodge traditionally planned the local Independence Day celebration in Hazleton itself, the citizens became concerned. At a mass meeting, the problem was discussed, and a committee appointed to oversee the proper celebration of the 4th of July in Hazleton. Proudly announcing that Hazleton takes a back seat in nothing, the committee placed a $500 order for pyrotechnics with the Unexcelled Fireworks Company of New York. To raise the necessary funds, the committee canvassed the town. As July 4th approached, the committee was able to announce it collected $640.75 and assured the citizens that Independence Day in Hazleton would be a brilliant and noisy success. In the same spirit, a memorial to the fallen veterans of the Civil War was established through community effort in Hazleton. By 1883, the committee had the financial resources to award a contract for the monument. Dedication of the memorial took place the following year, and by 1886, the community completed a park around the statue. Diverse social elements in Hazleton cooperated to promote such interests as a new county, a broader economic base, and patriotically inspired goals. But the sense of community expanded beyond efforts to achieve such widely defined objectives. Because they were members of the same town, various groups cooperated with each other on less general matters. Through group cooperation, entertainment, and needed facilities were all provided. Although doctrinally and ethnically differentiated, various Sunday schools in town planned union excursions during the summer. Three secret societies, the Knights of Malta, the Odd Fellows, and the Knights of the Golden Eagle, pooled their resources for a union hall, and that was to provide themselves with a meeting space. The joint activity was successful, as it resulted in the construction of a three-story building equipped with two kitchens, a large banquet room, and two ground-level stores, as well as accommodations for the member lodges. And that would be our building number two. And while joint activities of organizations promoted the sense of community, individual support of groups other than their own cemented the mutual identity of the people of Hazleton. All that we learn from Population Change and Social Continuity, 10 Years in a Coal Town by Harold W. Orand. Dr. Orand, in his study, points to what he calls Hazleton's habit, people's habit of voluntarily associating with others, as a key factor in stabilizing the community in the face of the rapid shifts resulting from immigration and larger economic developments. And as Hazleton developed economically, one of the new buildings to go up 20 years later was a building that would help small and large visions in the community come to fruition. The First National Bank, which, as we're told, came to secure the mortgage bonds needed to build one of the largest silk mills in the world in Hazleton, a keystone of the city's economy until the mid-20th century. Over a century later, this solid foundational building is being restored and adapted as a community arts center, and the project is an embodiment of that Hazleton habit that Dr. Oron described, people voluntarily coming together to improve their community. And is that what Chicago Cubs manager and Hazleton native Joe Maddon has called the Hazleton way? As we'll learn, the new City Arts Center is located within the core of downtown Hazleton's revitalization zone and within the proposed Arts and Innovation District. That district is undergoing approximately $30 million of renovation to historic properties. The Arts Center will become the new focal point of arts and culture within the Hazleton area, and the Hazleton area encompasses a population of approximately 90,000 residents. The Hazleton Art League will operate and manage the facility and offer expanded arts and cultural programming to the increasingly diverse community that Hazleton is. The effort to restore and adapt the original First National Bank is called, perfectly, the Banking on the Arts Campaign, and the co-directors are award-winning artists in their own right, Mary Veronica Sweeney, a native of Hazleton, and Allie McKittrick, a native of Arizona, and she now happily calls Hazleton home. We began by talking about these artists' ties to this community. Mary Veronica tells us her very first job at the age of 13 was at holiday time at a former department store just across the way from the bank building we are celebrating.
I was born in Allentown, actually, and my family moved up to Hazleton when I think I was 4, and my dad had his own business. He delivered bakery breads and all kinds of things like that. He worked for the Fraunhofer company at first and then had his own business. But yeah, by the time I was 13, I was eager to have my own job and got my social security number with my friends from Holy Trinity Catholic School down around the corner. And we were so excited to have our first Christmas job over the holiday. And so we worked at the Leader Store.
And you were checking people out and making people happy for the holiday with gifts.
And that's right.
Where did the arts come in?
That's a wonderful question. My father was a classical pianist. So I grew up with a baby grand in the house and would hide under the piano and listen to my father play Schubert and Chopin and Tchaikovsky. And he'd come home from work in his blues and sit down on the piano bench and just, he could not play. So, and my mom was a sewer, she made all our clothes. And so I grew up with this knowledge that art undergirds your life and it's just as vital as anything, really. So from that, I was drawing all the time and painting as my other siblings. I have 5 siblings. So we were all creating all the time. It was just a common thing to do. And I remember going up to my family's home, my dad's family up in Ashley. My dad would be playing the spinet piano and playing all these Tin Pan Alley songs. And everybody's face would be upturned in rapture singing these songs. And no matter what craziness came before and after, I learned that music and art was a language that we shared, and that was the great leveler. I always say that art is the great leveler, and it gives you another language to have with another person, and I think it's a power that we don't necessarily see as much. So for me, it was very, very real, and when I was just graduating from high school, I knew I was meant to go into the arts, so I did.
And you made your way as both an artist and a teacher?
Educator, yes. And I come from a long line of educators. Both of my mom's parents met at Bloomsburg College in the Teachers College, and I was just there recently sitting in that wonderful cafe, I can't remember the name of it, and realizing that I wouldn't exist if it wasn't for that town and for that college. So my aunt was a teacher. So many of my relatives were teachers and really, really valued education. And so that became very much also a big connection for me with arts and education.
And we'll finish the story because you went out of the area, spent your time out of the area, but you're back.
Yes, and happy to say so. I was just across the pond, actually, in Italy and Ireland. And on the plane, I just had this excitement realizing that I was coming home. That feeling of, I really love this place. There's so much happening. There's so much to be doing. And I just felt, you know, that when you have a mission in life and you're living that mission, I think it just, it satisfies on a deep, deep level. And so I never really would have imagined that I would be spending so much time in my hometown, but I'm delighted to be doing so and meeting all these wonderful people. And just the vision that people share and at this moment is very, very stimulating. It fits in perfectly with my own life mission.
How about you, Allie? What's your tie to Hazleton?
Well, I'm originally from Arizona, but at the time when I first came up, my husband and I and our kids were living in Florida. We came up for a wedding, and it happened to be around October, and it was just the most beautiful. I mean, because being from Arizona, there's nothing, you know, it's absolutely desert-wise and everything. But out here, I just thought I was just so in love with just the town and what it looks like, and Orlando is just so city for me. It was just way too that way. But yeah, that was what started my journey, and I ended up meeting all these great people. And right before I met Mary Veronica, I was working at an art store called Sargent Art. And just meeting the right people was really what brought me here.
That's each of you and Hazleton. Now, what about you two coming together to take on a project like this? What is the project and how did you come together around it?
Well, here's an interesting thing. So over the years, I said to you that I, you know, never really imagined myself coming back home. But over the years, a lot of my friends that are still here, one of them being Terry Bowder, who's the director of LCC, I would check in with her at time to time saying, hey, listen, I'm doing this public art all over the country. You know, I'd love to do one from my hometown if anything's happening. And sure enough, there was a competition for a mural, and I reached out to Krista Schneider, the wonderful Krista Schneider, executive director of the Downtown Hazleton Alliance for Progress, and so I submitted to her an idea of the first mural, and it was good. It worked out. It was a nice combination of minds to design this first mural. So with the mural, they didn't have a lot of resources for it, so I decided to help raise money for the art supplies. So I remember the Sargent Art up on Diamond Avenue, so I went there thinking, well, maybe they'll give me some paintbrushes, a couple sets of paints. And as I walked in, I met Allie McKittrick behind the desk. And I just had this great connection with her. And I thought, what is she doing behind a desk? There is her art on the walls. I recognize how talented she is. And I just thought to myself, if ever a project came in my lap, I would so love to work with her. So that's what happened. Months later, she was available, and the DHAP folks asked me if I would be interested in helping them raise money for this new converting a bank into an art center. And I didn't think twice about it. And I just said, well, here's what I would need from you. And the second thing would be I get to hire Allie McKittrick. That's what happened.
And you didn't hesitate.
Not at all. Not at all. It was actually a dream come true kind of job and opportunity. I just thought, because I care about the community, I care about art, and just to join those two things together and the connection that Envy and I have are just, we work really well together. I mean, it's a really good combo.
People think we're sisters all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, you know, we're just going to say it. Yeah, we are. We're sisters.
Outline for us then, what is this project?
Well, it's interesting. Now, there's this whole $30 million plus project to renovate all of that downtown area into an arts and innovation district. It's been extraordinary what's happening, again, which is such an invitation to someone like me to come back and be a part of it. I lived in New York for 10 years, and I saw how, you know, you take an idea and you make it happen with passion and resources and the right people, and the right people are here. And the resources are just what we need to get. And boy, the thrill of trying to get that together, why not? Why not do that? So the $30 million for the entire district, the Art Center itself is an old bank built in 1909. Serving the community since then. The idea of a bank in a community being this notion, a metaphor of stability and investment, right? And reaping dividends. What a great metaphor for us to create a campaign. So we use the concept of banking on the arts, that, you know, for a community to get it, that if you invest in the arts, you're doing the same thing as any bank has once done to an economy, which is to create this extraordinary stability and sustainability. So we just signed on immediately.
So then you had to, of course, have some sense of getting an architect or a designer or a mm-hmm. firm to say, well, here are some of the things that you could do, and you have a wish list mm-hmm. about what you'd like to see inside.
Yeah.
So how did all of that come out?
Well, back to Krista Schneider, the wonderful Krista. She has worked most closely with the architects and the folks, the city plan. She herself is a city planner. She has a degree from Harvard in urban planning. She's just amazing to work with, and she's a great, great pivot in the community to all these different community partners. So she was very instrumental in getting the right designers using her own talent and came up with this vision. And I mean, you can see in the catalog here, it's the park, renovating that park building that has been vacant where in the Leader store used to be. She's been so visionary and capable of bringing how to together. So I think it was because of her that we now have this potential to make it happen. It's always been a dream, but now it's really, really happening.
And you have a mural on the side as we approach the front too, and you've designed it.
Yes, that was part of the first mural was basically an homage to the arts and technology that Hazleton was once a symbol of, with Thomas Edison having been there in the town in 1891. Hazleton being the third city in the country, hence the globe, to be fully electrified. Very, very sophisticated, advanced, right, for its time. And so that first mural was honoring that history, that particular moment. And what we did with this mural is we took Joe Madden's concept of the Hazleton Way, because he's been, you know, his concept has been out there in the news. He's been such a strong Hazleton proponent. And so we just thought that was an extraordinary moment. What would artists do with that idea? So with my class at LCC last summer, we put it on the table. Well, let's pull this apart. What would that mean? How would you visually demonstrate the Hazleton Way? And so my students came up with the five concepts. The first one there is we're all immigrants. There's the Statue of Liberty. The second one is food and culture that we all share around the table, our different ethnicities. The middle one there is sports. And there's a little backwards picture of Joe. We didn't quite want his face in it, but we put him there. The third one is arts and technology. And the last one is the natural world, the beautiful countryside, the natural world that we can't live without. So that design became the most perfect way to express that concept for the side of the building.
And it's very much what attracted you to the place in the first place, isn't it, Allie?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, I think there's so many things about this mural. It does join us together, but it also represents, it's very colorful, if you can mm-hmm. see, and it's sort of a rainbow of color, which really kind of represents the community as well mm-hmm. that we're in, that we all fit, we all have a place. So
that's right.
What's the timeline then? When are we having a ribbon cutting?
Mm-hmm, yes, I know, we're talking about it. We're calling it the Spring Gala, so we can celebrate. We're really having a ball, aren't we, Allie? Just designing mm-hmm. what's going to happen at this event. What we've talked about and working on is an art auction. So to really celebrate this community coming together, to raise any last bits of money that we need, and just to celebrate what we're doing going forward. So we've been working with one particular person, Jake Ripa, one of the families that's just returned. His company, his family's company, has been around for a very long time, and he just recently returned from New York City. So he's a perfect person to be sponsoring with us this celebration of all this work now that everybody's been putting shoulder to shoulder together to create this wonderful resource for the community. So timeline is we're doing the event in June, but the center should be open end of the year, as are so many other buildings and projects that should be done by next January, which is pretty amazing.
And what will we find inside? If we go inside the brochure, mm-hmm. we get a tour of what you're envisioning.
Well, it's so interesting. The interior, as you walk into a bank, the original design from 1909 was so much the neoclassical style, right? With big marble and brass and, you know, all that to just give the sense of stability and all that. And when you walk in, none of that exists anymore. The original floor is there. But what you see when you walk in is this beautiful cathedral-like space, right? Which couldn't be more perfect for our paintings. And we have a mezzanine plan. So there's really two levels where you will walk around and be able to see the art. What's lovely about this building is from the front, there's this huge, almost like a rose window that brings all this stunning light that floods in. So it'll be beautifully lit. The original vault is there. We have someone, a very generous donor, who's named the vault for us. We can't tell you who he is, but we're very grateful to him, which is this beautiful original vault. You should see this. It's just amazing. So what you see is a lot of the original flooring, but mostly a big cavernous space. And you look up and you see three beautiful lunettes of stained glass, the original stained glass that's there. And that level that you're looking into is the old boardroom. And that's the room that Joe Madden and his family have named. It's a beautiful space that will be used for meetings. And we were calling it the Arts Resource Library, but it's just stunning. It's really, really beautiful. And then in the back, I'm going to let Allie describe some of the classrooms and the other levels.
Some of the things that are planned are we have a culinary kitchen, which is really exciting because some of the local community colleges can actually lease out that space, which is great because we're going to involve the other community members in part of the project. And then we also have a digital arts classroom studio, which is another link into the community colleges. We have a children's classroom, a clay studio, a stained glass studio, drawing and painting studio.
Everything.
Now that's all on one level?
There's several levels. So there is the main level, and then we have the first floor, and then we have the lower level. So it's three different levels, yeah.
Hazleton has a performing arts center. Will there be any kind of space for intimate chamber music or things
Absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, of course. Again, since I mentioned my growing up with classical music and my love of Tchaikovsky and so forth. Yeah, of course. We were actually just talking about this with the event in June. That would be so lovely to have a little chamber choir or something, right? So we're gonna check into that. Who wants to come and perform for us? I know we won't have a hard time finding takers.
What are the surprises, for example, that people are committing themselves in many ways to this project because they care about the community so much and have memories like yours of being 13 years old and riding up in the elevator to your first job?
Right. That's a beautiful question, and it's the beautiful part of what we do because we always talk about this, that we get to wake up and meet people's generosity every day, right? And especially to talk to them about the arts, which we value instinctively on our own, but to see how people's eyes light up when you describe to them the impact it can have on a young child's life, a high school student trying to decide what to do with themselves professionally, the thought that you could create a space for them that the community supports, that they could maybe even follow in the arts, maybe become an artist of some kind. And that's the thrill of what Ali and I being a part of this. One of the surprises is we really do get to use all of our skills. I've been on my own for many decades now, making a living as a creative professional. And so I've made a lot of mistakes, but I also had a lot of mentors and wonderful support networks for myself. And I know that you can create that. And we're just delighted that other people get that right away when we talk to them and that they put up generous amounts of treasure for that. I mean, 50,000, 65,000, it's 75,000, it's 300,000. We have been gifted with people's generosity to the point of tears for us. I mean, it's amazing that we've connected to that in people in Hazleton.
Have there been stories people have told about remembering vaudeville coming through?
Oh, boy. Now, Ali can't speak to this because she's not from the town, but it's so funny you should ask me that because when we were designing the first mural, and so there's that big story about Thomas Edison, right? Well, his electric facility was the precursor to the Feely. The Feely Theater, the Grand Feely Theater, where all those vaudeville acts came through. And when I was a kid, hanging out at the Grand Movie Theater or at the Feely, where we practiced, and I was with Father Ferrara playing the cello. So we were in the Feely, and I would hear all these stories about the acts that came on their way to New York City to perform and to perform to these tough crowds that were in Hazleton, right? And staying in that old Hazleton hotel. So when Bill Spear and his family, who own the Hazel Drug now, they're the ones who donated that back wall for the first mural. So when we were talking about what would be the perfect thing to display there, of course we talked about the vaudeville. That's where the arts and technology come in, right? So yes, the vaudeville. And I met so many people that would come by while I was up on that ladder who would want to tell me stories about meeting this one or that one. And it was a thrill. Again, that's the root of why I wanted to come back, because I realized that there was so much life and story and romance here, even still.
Do you think the outsiders who don't know about Hazleton, are they surprised when you mention that there is this remarkable renaissance taking place? Because the news about Hazleton is often not so positive.
Right, right.
Are people surprised?
I would say a different word. I would say actually excited. I feel like we're tying in with different communities because other communities like Tamaqua, you know, they have their own projects going on, and it's been sort of like cheering on, and I don't know, what are the other words to describe?
Exactly what you just said, the cheering on, if anything. I was just in the Phoenixville area, and I went to visit the Arts Center, and one of our gals, who is now the co-president, along with Carl Frankel, of the Art League, they're the folks that will be in the building, she was the director of the Phoenix Arts Center and the community arts, and she established it, she was the founder. So we are now so privileged to have her guiding what's going to happen. And so in visiting them, I was speaking with one of their directors down there, and she said, and it's amazing what it looks like. The streets have all these shops and cafes, and it looks so much fun. People are walking around with their little pooches and their kids. And it was just an amazing thing to know that this was what's possible in Hazleton, that this is what's bustling up, right? This is coming up from all this enthusiasm. And so I asked the woman that I spoke to, I said, so how long did it take to get here? She said, well, it was overnight in one way, but it really took a long time. But when it got here, it got here. And Hazleton, she said to me, you in Hazleton are about 3 years from us. When we were just absolutely bustling, I said, really, 3? Can we make it 2 or 1.5? Well, we're so eager to make it happen. But the sense of partnership with them, and we've met with the art folks and the Tamaqua Art Center. In fact, we got a tremendous gift from someone who supports them. The Silberline family, the Scheller family, they gave us a huge gift. So we haven't run into that negativity. We hear it. We're aware of it. Of course we are. But, you know, again, we're speaking the arts language, so people get it. You know, there is also this opioid addiction issue in this town, right, in this area. And so I often say this with deeply held belief that if you give a young person something meaningful, like the arts, to dedicate themselves to, even in one, you know, even a part-time way, they don't have to turn to distraction and in some way to something that's harmful for them. The arts is so powerful. And so we feel very hopeful, even when we hear those negative stories, because we know that we're on the high ground.
What do our listeners need to know then about how they can find out more, come to join you at the auction, mm-hmm. those sorts of things?
Mm-hmm. We have our website, which is bankingonthearts.com, and people can find out information there. And we have a Facebook page where you can keep up on events and things, and Twitter. Mm-hmm. So any of those ways are good ways to connect with us.
We've talked about it, but in sum now, how do you explain the fact that this expansive vision is close to being realized?
There's another part of this, it's affection. I got to say that there's tremendous, there's vision, there's faith, there's hope, but there's affection. And that's very real. That's been a joy of meeting people here, that there's such a tenderness about the area. And that speaks so much about the history of this town. And, you know, there's always an option to focus on the negative, right? That just is unending. And we just feel, certainly in the national level, this Hazleton story is a national story. It's such a microcosm of everything that's happening politically, culturally, economically. So we have this opportunity to be a model in a sense, and we take that seriously. And because we're of the minds that the arts can lead that, I mean, wow, we've been given this platform that we're not going to let go of very easily.
Mary Veronica Sweeney and Ali McKittrick, award-winning artists and co-directors of the Banking on the Arts campaign for a new city arts center to be operated and managed by the Hazleton Art League, with a target opening by the end of 2018 or beginning of 2019. They are planning a spring gala in June for the public as they work to complete their fundraising for the project. They've done an extraordinary job at bringing the project to this point. And as we heard at the start, the community of Hazleton pulled together to make sure there would be a fireworks celebration on the 4th of July. And so in anticipation of the ribbon cutting that will take place at the end of this year or beginning of 2019, we have music of Tchaikovsky, also as a nod to Mary Veronica's love for Tchaikovsky. We remind you that for information on the Banking on the Arts campaign and the project, on the web, and it's simply bankingonthearts.com, bankingonthearts.com, and also on Facebook. You can find them on Facebook. And for more information, again, bankingonthearts.com.